Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the ZabeCast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. My man, good to connect with you on a Sunday night. You know, Andy actually was surprised that I gave him the call out of the bullpen. He's like, it's Masters Nerd Sunday. You want me? Me?
Of all the girls you could date on a Sunday night, you pick me?
Funny how that is. You know, we nerded out, the Capital Golf Gang guys, me, John Gould, John Ronas, on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. We're not doing a special Capital Golf Gang tonight. We're going to do a full nerd recap with our guy Buddy at Golfdom on Tuesday, so you have to sit tight for that. But in a way, Andy, you know enough about golf to be dangerous. And I'm just curious as to how much of the Masters tournament and Scottie Scheffler's dominating finish you actually saw.
I watched almost all the last round.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that exciting, but he's the best. He doesn't get rattled.
And he does basically nothing for you. Now, I texted Andy, and I said, so does Scheffler get you geeked up like Tiger once did? And your answer was?
Hell no. No.
Because?
Because it looks like he was created by artificial intelligence. He looks like a golfer. He plays like a golfer. And all the golf people are gushing over the fact that he never shows any emotion. Right. And therefore, that makes him a great person. Okay. I'll go along with that. Doesn't seem to be anything wrong with him. He said that if his wife went into labor, that he was going to leave in the middle of a round.
Maybe.
And give up. Yeah, well, he said he would.
Yeah, right.
You know. So, you know, it's fine. All those things are great, but I kind of like Tiger pumping his fist.
Of course. Tiger had flair. Tiger popped off the screen at you. And when you texted me that, I literally did belly chuckles for the better part of 15 minutes because it's perfect. You're right. He looks like a video game character, an avatar you create, almost like EA Sports. Tiger Woods 2019. Okay, bleep, bleep, bleep. I want this tall, this shirt. Throw a beard on the guy. You know, just kind of round, soft features. Yeah. And he plays amazing. I mean, he's got a gear that these other dudes don't have. And I think even you as a casual can see that, right?
Oh, no question. He's great. You can't rip his game. I mean, no. Obviously you can't do that. But here's the thing about Tiger. And, you know, when he made the cut, there were some who were still afraid to say, well, you can't rule him out. You know, you never know. And you know, off of 2019, which, by the way, was before he almost lost his leg in that latest car wreck. But this is now 27 years since he won his first one. And the boom of the minority golfers that we were supposed to see.
Never happened.
Never happened.
Not a drop of rain ever hit the ground. It was like Virga, as they say in the meteorology business. Rain that was on the radar but never reached the ground.
Yeah, I mean, and just because you give a few clinics in the inner city doesn't mean you're going to round up some great talent. And when Scottie Scheffler came off the course, he hugged his mom and his dad, and then he hugged the coach who's been with him since he was 7 years old.
Right.
And that's how you become a great golfer. And the resources for inner city kids to do that just aren't going to be there. It's just not going to work.
Agreed. The resources aren't there. And also, you know, athletic kids do a certain amount of self-selection. Would you agree that they know what they're good at? They know what they like. And so they funnel themselves to those sports or the positions in those sports that they think they've got the best future at. Kids aren't dumb. Parents aren't dumb. It's sort of like we have this conundrum now, Andy, with the NFL draft, where there's a, ready, gasp, white cornerback out of Iowa by the name of Cooper DeJean, who is a sick athlete and player, but just so happens to be white, and he played corner in college. We haven't had a white corner since Jason Sehorn. We haven't had a white corner before Sehorn since. You know the guy's name. He was a Redskin.
Torrey Nixon.
I thought it was Brian Davis.
Well, Brian Davis, yeah, it was later. But Bobby Bethard had like this fetish for white corners. And I guess because he was a white corner that didn't make it in the NFL. And so he was always trying to draft one. But yeah, Brian Davis, they took out of Nebraska, wasn't very good. So Torrey Nixon was a second round pick, and I think they traded the next year's number one to get him,
right.
And they had to trade him before the end of training camp. I mean, it just didn't work.
So you have one of the best white running backs in the game is white, and Christian McCaffrey. One of the best wide receivers in the game, Cooper Kupp, is white. Those are explosive positions that are typically dominated by black players, but those things can happen. For whatever reason, corner is the hardest nut to crack. And I think it's partly because white athletes don't try to crack it. They self-select out of that position if they're of a certain athleticism. And I believe that if there was a talented young athlete who happened to be black that had parents who had some means, right, and he was good at a couple of things, including golf on the side, he's not going to self-select into golf. He's going to self-select into basketball or football. Or baseball before he selects golf, right?
Well, also, golf is hard, and you have to spend a lot of time doing it yourself. Wouldn't you rather be out playing other sports with your friends when you're younger? Isn't that much more fun?
It takes a certain personality to embrace and lead into the solitariness of golf and the soloness. But, you know, you are on teams in high school and then in college, and there's certain team events. But it's not the same as a true team sport. But, so there's a number of factors. But back to Tiger for a second. You know, Tiger somehow makes the cut. I was blown away that he played as well as he did for two rounds. Although nothing should surprise me. But then his body kind of fell apart on Saturday. Today he played with the only amateur who made the cut, this lumpy kid, Neil Shipley, who went to JMU, who had the thrill of his life. He was like, what? I'm paired with Tiger? Amazing. Yeah. Said he had a great time with him. But Tiger told Shipley that he woke up at 3:30 a.m. to let his team of physios start working on him to get him ready for a 10:10 tee time.
Right.
Let that soak in.
And there was also something on the course where Tiger supposedly handed him a note.
Right.
And then they asked him about it. And it was like, you know, he was like in the Russian gulag there. Like, no, didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Right. Shipley was like, he turned to the green coat sitting next to him at the podium. Like, should I answer this? Like, he's his court appointed attorney. And he goes, no, it didn't happen. Are you sure? Because yeah. I saw it clear as day. No, didn't happen.
The poor kid, so afraid that he's going to betray some kind of trust that
right.
Tiger had in him.
Right.
Like, you know, what's going to happen? Is he going to ruin his career? I don't know.
I don't know. There is a lot of funny memes, though, coming out of the final round. Somebody said, right now, Meredith Scheffler has the chance to do the funniest thing of all time and greet Scotty on the 18th green holding their baby. Can you imagine? She kept it secret, had the kid on Thursday, and flew in. It's like, hey, here it is. What? Yeah. Do you think he really would have walked off? Because that's always the flex. I don't believe she would have permitted it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, if she went into labor, would she say, don't tell him? But on the other hand, does he come home with his second green jacket and get angry about the fact that he wasn't told that she went into labor?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be a tough deal. I, you know, look, if he can be there, great. But it's a little bit overblown. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, where were your seats for your two kids? Because I was in the outfield for both.
No, I caught both. Yeah, and cut the cord both times. And it was great.
So you were behind home plate? You caught both?
Well, I mean, I didn't catch, but then I watched the doctor pull them out, and then I cut the cord.
Yeah,
and,
from what seat? The outfield or behind home plate? And don't make me get any more graphic than that.
Well, I guess it's outfield, right?
So right,
I
can see over her yeah. shoulder.
No. In front of.
So you, know, you were between. Were you between first and third base, i.e., your wife's knees?
Yeah, I guess. But the doctor wow. had to be in front of me to take, oh, okay. the, take the baby. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you were in slightly obstructed seats behind a pillar in yeah. the lower loge, somewhere behind home.
Whatever. Look, I love my daughter. But for the second one, I was focused on seeing a penis for that one.
And I'm really? So yeah. you didn't know the sex ahead of time, and you were honed no. in on penis. Were you rooting like quietly, like, penis, come on, let's go. Need a boy, want a boy, let's go.
I mean, I would have been in love if it was a girl.
I know.
But I was, since I had a girl,
yeah.
We wanted a boy, and we had a boy, and I was very happy about
and
that.
And you got a boy who loved sports, chose not yeah. to get into the awful business that is radio. Good for him. Yeah. He's a right. teacher. He's getting married. He's got a beautiful bride to be. He mm-hmm. played basketball his senior year in high school at Wooten High School and mm-hmm. was a reserve, but he made the team, and you were very proud of that. He once made you buy a Jason Williams white chocolate jersey for the Kings because yes. that was his favorite player back in the day.
Oh. And we still have the Kings throw pillow in the basement. Yes,
right.
we have all those things.
You
yes.
went to Cubs games with him as well. I mean, it's yeah. you raised a great boy, and he loves sports.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, and my daughter's great too. It's wonderful.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, there was that thing was one of the memes. Then we got to talk about the Vern angle because this was Vern's last ride,
yeah.
and it was a huge buildup. It was referenced all throughout the week, the weekend, the final day as well, and sadly, it ended with the audio tech in the truck for yeah. CBS having zero awareness of the moment. They're playing this soaring Yanni piece, you know, this yeah. symphony piece to march out to break, and it's drowning out Vern, who is puddling at the moment, and he's choking up. And you might say, well, he didn't want to look bad, so that's why they had the music so loud. No, take it down, duck it down to 50%, you dummy.
Yeah, that was really bad. Some 18-year-old meth head running the audio board
bobbing
there.
His head with his headphones on. Right, yeah, man, let's go.
Oh my God, that was bad. But you know, I have known Vern before he did his first Masters.
Right.
I worked in Dallas at the he was in the television station, which was downstairs. I was in the radio station upstairs, but he would come up and do commentaries on radio, and I know him. And as a matter of fact, as the round was starting today, I texted my friend Dave Barnett, who's had a great career himself in play-by-play, has lived in the Dallas area most of his life. And I said, you know, when I was in Dallas in the early 80s, Frank Lieber, you remember Frank Lieber? Does that name mean anything?
Vaguely.
Okay. Frank Lieber was the big media star nationally at the time. He was doing radio at KRLD And then on the weekends, he was doing events for CBS. He was doing golf. He was doing NFL. He was a rising guy. And Vern was kind of the guy who got what he left behind. So Gleyber had been the Cowboys radio announcer. Vern got that when Gleyber started doing NFL games. And it looked like Gleyber was going to have the better career. Sadly, he had a heart attack and died in early 50s, 51, 52. Mm-hmm. And then Vern, I think Vern may have even benefited getting some of his assignments and so forth. But yeah, the Vern I knew wasn't the Vern who's become, you know, the sainted grandfatherly man who's made all these incredible calls.
He's amazing. Well, Vern. I'm looking at a young photo of Vern when he was 1967. I don't know how old he was. Yeah, he looks like Jack Benny. Darren Revelle tweeted the picture. Lundquist was paid $26 a day. Yeah. A day as sports director for a Dallas TV station. He became one of the best announcers ever. He did the Hill to Leitner call, Tiger's magical chip-in, In Your Life. He did the Kick Six. I liken him to almost Forrest Gump in that he was there at the juncture of so many jaw-bending, amazing moments in sports.
Well, one of his iconic calls was only 3 years into his 2 years into his run doing the Masters when he did the Yes Sir with Jack Nicklaus.
He did the Yes Sir as well. The Masters did a great piece where they showed how he hopped around on a bunch of different holes. He did 17, he did 11 for 1 year, used to do 15 and 16. So, yeah, he's just done a lot, but what's great is that he has a impeccable sense of the moment and timing, that golden deep voice, and just absolute sincere humility for how lucky he's been to be, you know, in our living rooms as the announcer. And that's all we ask, right, from our announcers. Appreciate it, you assholes. You're lucky. Don't wear yourself out with us. You know what I mean?
Right. That's right. And he also knows when to shut up.
Yes.
The great ones do. Vin Scully was the best. He's great at it too. Just let the moment live. Don't smother it.
Right. All right. So since you're not into AI Scheffler, such a great reference to him, did you see the hour-long Nance Remembers piece on Tiger Saturday, which ran before coverage?
I don't think so.
Okay. No. I'd love for you to watch it because they go inside the production truck with Lance Barrow at the time when that chip went in.
And I saw Vern interviewed about that.
That's
a very interesting story. Yes.
But it was incredible to see it and to see all these people in there with, you know, chaos wanting to break out, but Barrow as the captain of the ship is like, okay, everybody lay out, just let this play. And he's like taking camera angles. Take two, take wide, zoom in, well, go here.
There's a couple of things. One, the camera that they used to focus on the ball, that was brand new. That technology, and as
it was a stabilized camera that would allow it to keep its focus when Vern might stand up or, you know, the fans might shake the tower kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. When they tested it before the Masters started, Vern said they put a nickel down on the green, and the camera focused so you could read In God We Trust.
Wow. And so,
yeah. And he said this was brand new. And he also said, I think it was Barrow, who did not listen to the producer and stayed on the ball rather than go to Tiger with the ball hanging on the lip. I mean, that's just luck. These guys are the best of the best. So they know it.
The best, although that could have, in theory, been luck. It could have just been like he might have just misheard a cue, you know, take camera four or whatever. But it turned out great. So, Uncle Vern, man, you're going to miss us. You know, my brother today, we were over at my parents' place and helping him out with some things. My brother asked me a very interesting question as he and I were just together walking into the folks' apartment. He said, so, bro, do you still love sports or is it just a job at this point? And I said, well, no, I still love it, but man, there's so many things that make it harder and harder, you know? The greed of the leagues and the players and all the bullshit, and college sports has been blown into smithereens that's going to have to reassemble itself into something that makes some sort of sense because it doesn't right now. I said, you know, and as far as the sports, I mean, look, when the games are played, they're thrilling, they're awesome, and the athletes are better than ever, even though Andy doesn't think so, beat Maravich. But I said, here's the problem, bro. I said, we know the players are going to come and go. They come through pretty quickly, but there's always a new crop coming through, and you're like, wow, look at this new guy. He's amazing, right? It's the announcers who get old and retire and then die, your favorite announcers. And there are new announcers, but you never quite, at least I don't think, Andy, you never quite feel the same way. And that's how I am with Vern. That's what makes sports harder to me. All of my favorite voices are going away. That's hard.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I would say this. The Final Four done by Ian Eagle was great.
Ian Eagle's great. Ian Eagle's
anything Nance has ever done.
I know. He's a joy. And he's a joy. And I hope there's more Ian Eagles. But I'm seeing more announcers get jobs and opportunities, not based on how good they are, based on other criteria, including internal organs that nobody can see. And you're like, so why do I care? You have those organs, not these organs. Well, we have to because we want to be equitable.
Oh, you're
Does
saying
that spell it out?
Yeah, there are, but I mean, that's evolution too, you know, and, you know, there was a time when blacks didn't get an opportunity to be announcers, and there's some good ones who do that.
I don't care about skin color, but I do believe announcers need to have pop and oomph to their voices. If Santa Claus had a squeaky little voice and was very skinny and had a brown long beard, would you say that's a great Santa Claus? Hold on, you're talking to a Jew here. This is probably not going to land with him. No, he'll get it. He'll get it. Like, to me, a play-by-play announcer, it's a role in a production. And to me, there's certain minimums that should be met. I don't want to name names because, you know, they work hard in the industry, and I know that they, you know, I'm not there to bag on them. But some of them do not sound good. Some of them, and that includes men, oh, by the way. There are men that are getting gigs that aren't very good based on external factors. But then again, that's always been the case. Okay, a couple other things here. So did you see the shot of Tiger who went out so early, Vern was not yet on the air, shaking hands with Vern, who was obscured behind a tree, and the shot people grabbed from the TV coverage was Tiger shaking hands with an arm that was coming out from a tree.
Right.
That led somebody to pretty much offer the meme of the year, which was a twin photo. On one side was Tiger's SUV plowed into a tree outside his home in Isleworth on Thanksgiving night after his then wife, Elin, found the texts from all of his hoes. And then there was the one of Vern shaking his hand, and the caption was, "Apology accepted."
Wasn't that a fire hydrant though that he ran into?
Oh, he clipped a hydrant, but the tree stopped the car. I damn near died when I saw that meme. I'm like, man, you are very creative to think of that. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, you know, back in the day. Tiger and the tree finally bury their hatchet.
Unbelievable. That is funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Are you aware of the incredible gambling run El Prez, Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports is on right now?
Yes, I'm a fan. You know, I watch the pizza reviews every night. I don't follow much of what else he does, but he kind of blends that in. And he's on an incredible heater now. But
how much has he lost? Are you asking? Is he doing like Floyd Mayweather does, which is only post winning tickets?
Well, also he's betting heavy on favorites. You know, the favorites have come in,
right?
And he's now I don't understand enough about betting to know this, but how is he able to put down that amount of money? It seems he has
that much money.
I understand, but gambling outlets usually put a limit on you, don't they?
No. If you got the money, they'll take it. They'll take whale wagers, and he's been making whale wagers, but you're right. So his first million in this run was on Michigan against Alabama. Now, I think Michigan was a dog.
Were they? Okay.
I think. I could look that up. That was $1 million. Then he took 500 grand on Texas versus Washington, the Sugar Bowl. That's sort of a side bet. Then he took the Chiefs for 500 grand.
Favorite.
Okay. Then he took the Huskies, UConn, 2.1 million. Favorites. To win the whole thing. Well, big favorites, but they were like 3 or 4 to 1.
Yeah, but I think that the championship game, they were like 6.5 point favorites. And they were.
Well, no, he bet a future bet on that. I think he had the Huskies before the tournament.
Okay, but they were still the number one seed.
I know. But still, they're 4 or 5 to 1. They got to win 6 games. Anything could have happened.
That's true. Yeah,
and then he took Scheffler at 4 to 1, and he doesn't really even know golf. Right. I think it's incredible. I think it's incredible in this regard. You may not care for Barstool and the content they put out and their people or Portnoy himself. I think he's a great character and he leans into who he is. And so for that, I get a laugh out of him. But during the tournament, he was just tweeting all over because when Scheffler kind of slipped back a few times, he'd be like, it's over. Tell Meredith go into labor. It doesn't matter. Like he doesn't know golf, but this guy 20 years ago was slinging printed copies of his Barstool Sports, printed newspaper copies for free outside the subways in Boston. Oh. And now look at him. Like, I respect that. Like, that's incredible right there.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that. Jeremy was living in Boston 6, 7 years ago, maybe as long ago as 10 years ago. He said he ran into him at a bar with a friend of his.
And
he really was. Yeah. He does a lot of stuff with helping out small businesses, you know, during the pandemic and stuff like that. And, you know, he's one of mine. He's in the tribe, very close to his parents.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I don't necessarily like somebody who broadcasts media and drops F-bomb every other word, but it's kind of his style. And yeah. I don't know. I think he's got real talent. I do. Yeah.
All right. Then there's this. You sent me a clip from WFAN radio in New York City, The Fan, 660 AM. Now they're on FM, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they've been for years.
They've been here for years. Andy was there when The Fan started. You're one of the first settlers at Plymouth Rock of sports talk radio.
July 1st, 1987. Yes, sir.
Back when those who heard about the new format, because no one had done all sports all day long, the critics were saying, what will they talk about all day? Right?
Yep.
What will they talk about all day? Well, we found a lot to talk about, and of course, the medium now, it's really guy talk where it's mostly sports but some other stuff mixed in. But in New York, it is hardcore sports and hardcore baseball, right?
Baseball.
They will talk one at-bat in a Yankee game on a random Tuesday for hours if needed, yeah. Right?
No, that's the thing that I really was not prepared for. Now, I didn't go there to be a talk show host. I was doing updates. But when I was there, I realized, man, if I ever did talk here, I don't know if I could do it because I don't have the history with the baseball, and you really have to know it, and you have to really care about every game. And they will talk about a play that took place in the fourth inning of a, you know, 7-1 game for half an hour. I go, how do you do that?
Right. So here was Sal Licata, who does a show with Brandon Tierney. It's middays, going off on Check's notes, Juan Soto walking too much for his liking, looking for walks. Soto is off to a white hot start. He's hitting .333 right now. He's got 3 home runs early in the season. I mean, look, he's on a 1-year rental. Someone's going to pay him a shit ton of money next year because he's a elite hitter. But was Sal Licata's take on Juan Soto 2 weeks into the baseball season.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second.
So wait, let's get into it now.
Hold okay, on, Rich, and thank you for the call, Rich.
Get into what?
He's looking for a walk. Soto's looking for a walk. Now, I love Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And John Harper, my colleague at SNY, correctly predicted I would at some point go nuts about Soto looking for a walk. A walk is not as good as a hit. And when you have Judge struggling and you got the pitcher on the ropes, you got first and second in a spot right there where you need to do damage. Mm-hmm. You're Juan Soto. You need to do damage, not draw a walk. And Juan Soto's looking for a walk. Swing the bat, bro. That's what you want to get paid. Swing the bat. I don't care if he's a Yankee, if he's a Met. I cannot accept a walk in that spot from Juan Soto.
And it goes on for another minute almost. I won't torture anyone with it. But I immediately dove into the comments, and they are gold. People just demolished him, saying, really? So what do you want to do? Swing at bad pitches, strike out, hit into double plays? Like, it's still baseball. You got to have pitches to hit.
Well, there's two things that he's doing correctly if you follow the success formula of the fan. Number one, he's talking about the Yankees. Number two, he's talking about them with high energy. And that put Chris Russo in the Hall of Fame. Now, Russo is not a Yankee fan. He was tweaking
Giants.
Francesa. Yeah, Giants. Francesa was a Yankee fan. But that's what made them. And so they look at that. And they go, well, we got to be talking Yankees, and we got to do it with high energy. And it's a real – and anybody who's followed Soto's career, he walks all the time. Even when he's hitting like .205, he's up there and walks in the league. But he's off to a torrid start, and the Yankees are winning. You know, that's another thing. I think it's their fifth best start
right.
in history. You know, so it's hard to find something to latch onto to get worked up about. He found something there.
I know. Yeah. And even if he gets crushed, they're not going to pull him aside and say, hey, Sal, we need to get you some more training on how to understand sports because that take was shit. Like, we're concerned about whether or not we can keep you on as a host. That'll never happen. They got the phone lines lit. The bad takes that generate a lot of calls are as good as the good ones that generate you're right. And that's the business we're in.
Yeah, and he got himself worked up enough to really care about that, you know?
Or at least fake it well enough.
Well, right. What I sent you was, we did this a long time without baseball. We didn't have baseball for most of the time we did the show. And I thought,
once we got baseball, we could not have sustained it because we were not and still aren't as good of a baseball town as New York.
No. And so I was said to you, like, you know, can you imagine if we had to do this every day?
Oh, God. No.
And over the years, I would run into Russo at the Super Bowls. And he would say,
yeah, hey, Andy, good to see you, buddy. Yeah, how you doing, man? Miss you, buddy. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I like him very much.
I do, too. I'm just doing my impersonation.
I know. Well, he doesn't do that all the time. You know, he does actually have a conversational voice. But he would say, I don't know how you do sports talk without baseball. What do you do? I go, well, we just talk about the Redskins.
Yeah.
Really? How do you do that in the middle of July?
I know.
We do. That's how we did.
You talk about what the people want. That's the bottom line. You saw Caitlin Clark was on SNL over the weekend.
Yeah, funny.
Okay, here she was. Funny. Apparently Michael Che, who does the weekend update, has been ripping off some, you know, anti-women sports jokes. And so she was there to go, yeah, okay, about that. And, of course, they pulled up some of his jokes. Here is her rebuttals.
Well, no, we don't have to do that.
A number of sports bars around the country are promising to only show women's basketball games during March Madness. The bars are known collectively as the empty ones. A new report claims that recent stories on the Sports Illustrated website were actually generated by AI. And it's already making glaring mistakes. For instance, it made up something called the WNBA. Iowa's Final Four game against UConn was the most watched women's college basketball game ever, with 14.2 million viewers, beating the previous record by 14.2 million viewers.
Wow. Colin with the receipts. Thanks, man.
No problem. You know, unlike Che, I support women.
Whoa! No, hold on. I think you're a great basketball player. I mean, I can't play like you do.
Yeah, we know. And obviously, I can't tell jokes like you do.
Thank you for that.
But I did write some jokes, and it would mean a lot to me if you read some of them. Just right over there on the cards.
Well. The Indiana Fever have the first pick in this Monday's draft. A reminder that Indiana Fever is a WNBA team and not what Michael Che gave to dozens of women at Purdue University.
And she roasted him with a bunch of others. She's going to make a gazillion dollars, both on and off the court.
And the jacket she was wearing, selling online, Nike jacket, $550.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? You know, and she kind of put on a little bit of makeup, a little bit of hairstyle, not much. And she is a very attractive young athletic woman. She plays it down on the court itself, but yeah, she is going to be continued catnip for advertisers, and good for her. But that was pretty funny.
Yeah, she. By the way, the number for the women's final, 4 million
beat the
more
men.
Than the men's
I know.
Final.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Right? Will it happen again though without her?
That's true. Yeah, that's going to be something to watch.
But she certainly helped.
She elevated it for sure.
Okay, and then Andy, there is this. I know you tried to play golf and you didn't like it and you quit, and that's fine. But you tried.
I did.
So every year, the lucky media that covers the Masters are automatically entered into a lottery by the club itself, and a small number of them, less than 50, get to play the course on Monday, right? Well, one of the women that won the lottery is one Julia Westerman, a reporter for WIS-TV, and she won the lottery. She's going to play on Monday. It'll reportedly be her first round of golf ever. Not her first round of the year, ever. Is this not the ultimate waste of a lottery ticket? Like, can you imagine? This is giving a pimple-faced 14-year-old kid a shot at, you know, Kate Upton. No, you don't get that for your first time. Get off.
Are you allowed to give away your win?
Imagine if you could sell it. Well, what
she's a young woman in the media business, and could she give it to somebody with a promise in return that person would help her to rise to the level of maybe, you know, weather person on the Today Show or something?
If I was her, I would say politely, look, I can't play. I've never played, but I would love to walk the course. Can I caddy for, say, somebody that I choose to play, maybe another media member kind of thing? You know, they might say, hey, do you have a cameraman from WIS-TV that does play that would like to play? You can caddy. You can still walk the course. You can hit a few shots while you're out there, a putt or two. But imagine being paired. You're like, this is the greatest day of my life. I won the media lottery for the Masters after 30 years of covering the event. Who am I playing with? Oh, her. She's never played. She's hitting grounders 10 feet off the tee on every hole. Woof.
Well, you know.
Still would put up with it. I'd be looking at all the azaleas, just ignoring her awful golf. That's for sure.
Absolutely. You guys who love golf, I mean, this is a big deal for you, isn't it?
It is a big deal. And it's kind of torturous to think that somebody who doesn't play just won the lottery. But hey. Mm. All right. Andy, did you bike ride on Sunday? It was glorious.
I did not. I had to do a lot of yard work and stuff, getting the deck ready for the spring season.
Oh, power wash?
Very nice. Yeah, a little power wash. All power, that.
Nice. Good. You'll be ready for the 2.5 weeks of sufferable temperatures and non-bugs that the DMV allows before it becomes
Mr. Milwaukee.
Uninhabitable.
Mr. Milwaukee. Or is it Arizona? I forget. Where are you?
Mr. Indoors like Solly. I'm becoming the noted indoorsman. All right, Andy. As always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jen.
See you. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.